Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Maria and Elaine and I had an experience that I'll never, ever forget on Friday night. Just as we read in Colossians today in Bible study, how we died on the cross, we were resurrected, and we were buried with Him and resurrected. And we had that experience on Friday night through baptism. And only four people were supposed to get baptized, and probably 18 did. And it was life-changing. It happened to us. And two women were slain in the Spirit right into water.
I was one of them.
So anyways, it's great. And we were supposed to leave everything. You know, we all believe that we've been resurrected with God, but we still go back in the world. We still have things that we shouldn't be doing and run by emotions or whatever. And Marie and I, we really needed that. And it was a blessing. And everything that was troubling us was left back in those waters. And it was amazing.
Yes. Yes, it is a true testimony as to the faithfulness of God. Because when the pastor said, he said, come to the waters, he said, and leave things behind that have been tormenting you. Well, I've been having torments. But God, hallelujah, freed me of it that night. Yes, He is good and faithful. But Pastor had stirred the waters, and it seemed like it was just Bethesda all over again. The waters were just... He just was praying over them, and he was saying, come to the waters and leave things under the waters that have been tormenting you, that have been after you, because Jesus already took care of it on the cross. And it was the most beautiful experience because it went from 7 o'clock until we left at 10:30 at night. And that whole time it was praising God in song and worship, and it was baptisms. And he said, I was going to preach the word. He said, but the word's active tonight. So people were coming to the waters. And I believe that we can do that. You know, sometimes we just think, oh, I'm fine. And then God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to you and says, you need to get that released in your life for me to do a good work in you. For I have plans for you. And that is Jeremiah 29:11. He has plans for each and every one of us. But sometimes there's things that keep us from doing that which God has meant for us to do. And that's when we come to the waters. That's when we leave everything behind and we allow Him to renew us and refresh us. And that's exactly what happened. And I believe that is for all of us. You know, it doesn't have to be a water baptism. You can allow the Holy Spirit to give you a Holy Spirit baptism. You in your prayer closet, you with God, and just say, God, I'm releasing these things. You've convicted me of these things. I am giving them to you, and I no longer have them because of what Jesus did on the cross. And that's what happened to us on Friday night, and it's the most freeing experience. You know, there have been many baptisms, but that one was so powerful because there was prophetic word as well over us, and so we received it. We're going to be serving the Lord together mightily. And I believe each and every one of you, God has a plan too. He has a plan for each one of you.
I'm going to do the sermon now, okay?
You know, in Psalms, it talks about how, you know, just let me grab it really quick because I want to read it exactly. Psalms 1, it talks about, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, when Maria Elena was standing up here and she was talking, it made me think of when I read this week. Because we're meant to meditate. We really are. Like, to spend time with God. It's how we get to know who He is. And it's how, honestly, it's how kind of that cleaning and renewing and refreshing all happens in our life. Right? Just like this song is saying, it doesn't matter what comes against you. God's there through it all. Every single part, through the pain, through the hardship, whatever it is, He's in every single part of it. See, and where we get rest is by dwelling in Him. It's that meditation. It's the ability that when something comes against us, for us to be able to say, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get all riled up and upset and frustrated and feeling down and low, because God, I know what Your word says. See, the difference between the kingdom and operating as a part of this world is that we don't. That's just it. We begin to take what God's saying and not just read it, but apply it on a regular basis. It's the meditating that matters. See, it's that time we're spending, soaking it all in. It says it perfectly in the scriptures. The tree that's next to the water stream, what's it gonna do? It's gonna thrive. It's gonna bring forth fruit. It's gonna just continue to soak it all in, right? Because it's right next to the source. See, and that's what we're meant to do. We're meant to be plugged into the source all the time. See, when you wake up and you praise God, when you go through your day and you're praising, when you read the word, when you go through all of those things throughout your day, you're plugging in to the source. You're allowing Him to speak to you. You're allowing Him to work through you. You're allowing Him to give you things. And this is where rest comes in. Because now, instead of focusing on what's happening around you and what's going on, you're focusing on who He is. And see, and He doesn't worry about those things. He doesn't worry about tomorrow because He knows what He has for tomorrow. He doesn't worry about what's gonna happen or how it's gonna happen or what you should say or what you shouldn't say. No, He has all of that already. So what we should be doing is looking to Him for that. Lord, when should I speak? When should I not? When should I make my next move, do this next thing? See, if we allow God to be in every single part of it, He, just like the word tells us, we will not perish. Church, it's the all things working together for good, right?
Hallelujah.
It's the same thing. It just says it in a different way. That's the thing about the word of God, is it'll give you more than one thing. It'll give you confirmation of what He's telling you when He gives it to you, because it shows you, I am giving you a word that is for you. That is specifically, see, He gives us things specifically for us. The working in our life, the things we're going through. It's why meditating day and night becomes so vital within our life. See, it's not a... Mm-hmm. We can worry about growth, finances, and everything else. But I guarantee you that worrying does nothing. But going after God provides everything. It'll give you the finances. It'll give you the growth. It'll give you the... See, we become effective when we're a reflection of who He is and not a reflection of us. And that reflection comes forth as we dive in. See, as we go after, as we push forward, as we press in, that reflection begins to happen in our life. And not necessarily because we're saying, I'm going to go and make this change, but because we're looking at the Father. And as we go after Him, we begin to reflect who He is. Our reactions, when somebody else would be angry and upset, when we're patient and we're kind. See, that's the thing, is that God will guide us in every single thing you do. He's never left you by yourself, but we gotta learn to take that rest. Just spend the time with Him and plug in and allow Him to move and operate in our life.
Good morning. I guess I really do have to talk on this today, to wait, to stand. I've been looking at that in the Bible and how sometimes we have to rest, to wait, to stand. And I never knew wait meant stand. It just didn't dawn on me it meant stand. I always thought it meant relax, you know, like, put your feet up, you know, rock in a rocking chair, whatever. But He wants us to be ready like soldiers. And so I wrote this about it. He wants us to be ready. Let's see. Where does it start here? That's my problem. I write things fast. And okay. I'll just read what I have here. To wait is to stand, not recline all day. We must be on the ready, for good soldiers obey. For he wants us ready, our lamps to trim, alert in the darkness, seeking only Him. We all have a purpose in this battleground ahead, to stand firm on His foundation, ready soldiers, not in bed. He guides us through each battle. Remember, it's been won. Be ready, fellow soldier. The victory is in His Son.
Afternoon, morning? No, morning. So I would appreciate, I mean, I do appreciate everybody's, is it still on?
Yeah.
I do appreciate everybody's prayers when I was in the hospital. A little bit scarier than last time. Although last time I did get shocked 7 times in a 24-hour period, this time was a little more scary for me. And it wasn't as fun as last time. Because last time, one of the times that I got shocked, there were 5 or 6 new doctors looking. And they were looking at my chart and seeing my heart rate going above 150. And they were looking, and all of a sudden I got shocked. And a couple of the people screamed. A couple of the doctors screamed. So that made me a little... It was kind of funny, you know. All right, but anyway, I appreciate all of your prayers. But the main reason I'm up here, we've been going to the church about 6 years now, and I've noticed a very good, I guess you could say, evolution with the worship team. When we were first here, it was Rebecca and some CDs, if I remember right. And then they got a young guy on a guitar. And they worked up to a different drummer and some more guitar players.
And an old guy on the guitar.
And then Steve and our percussionist started playing. And, well, she's not there now, but there she is. She plays quite a bit. And I've noticed when I was first here and they started singing songs, it was like, oh man, they're doing the same songs over and over. But lately, it seems like every month or 2 months, they come up with a new song. And they've got an excellent repertoire now. and I really appreciate it. That's what I had.
Hallelujah. I want to talk to you all about Pastor Pat with the stage 4 cancer. As most of you know, I had stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And because of all of you giving me the prayer and helping me and talk to me and believing that God would save me, well, believe it or not, I'm cancer-free. So I want to say to whoever talks to Pastor Pat, just let him know there is great hope in the Lord. He cured me. Hallelujah. He can cure him. So tell him it's not in vain to just keep on trucking.
Amen. Hi, Billy.
Good morning, church. Good morning. What I heard was Psalms 139. You guys know the one. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Why do I feel like crying when I come up here? And it goes on to say, I knew you in your mother's womb.
That's right.
So I'm going to say no baby is a mistake. I'm going to say every baby is born the right gender. And then all the other voices that try to tell us that we're too much, too little, we got to fit into the world. If, like it says in Jeremiah, I knew you before you were born, that means that God picked the right mother and father. Thank you, Jesus. The right birth date, color, eyes, hair, the right place to be born. He picked the right gender. And Psalms 139 is very powerful because when I see kids on the path and we're walking, they've got their phone in their hand first thing. Forgive us, Jesus. Let us set down our phone and look to you and the word. And then it says, that whatever we look to first is our God, little G-O-D. But we want to make big G-O-D. His name is God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, and the Word, number one. So this kid was riding his bike, and he was swerving all over. I thought, oh, he's going to hit me. Oh, help me, Jesus. And so he's busy reading his phone, trying to ride a bike, and he's all over the place. And the Lord gave me the boldness to say, keep your eyes on the road. I want you to get there safely. So I didn't think anything about it, but in the car, we put our phones down. We get there safely. We can make it through the night without our phone. It says, where can I go from your spirit? So he's with us. Then the other verse that came up was, do not be anxious for anything. So what does anything mean? Every little thing that wants to get on your, help me, last nerve. So if it tries to get on your last nerve, go to the word, go to your prayer closet, get quiet, seek his face. Not everybody that says they're a preacher, teacher, evangelist is in their prayer closet, but it says, you come boldly to the throne of grace. Are we shy? Can we ask? Does he listen? Anybody? Yes, a big yes. Then he said, let your gentleness be evident. This is Galatians 5:22-25. And I thought, well, that's nice. What do you mean? But it's the do not be anxious. So we are to be gentle spirits. And then he also told me that, ball of joy, you want to be stronger, wiser, and better. Yes, Lord, that's you. He said, no, that's not me. He said, I need you to trust me for the future. Oh, no, I have to strive. I have to fix it. I have to be more religious. I got to know it all. And he said, no, I want you to do less and lean on me more. Yes. I want you to get simpler, quieter.
And then he says, I want you to be kinder. I said, I don't use that word. Is that you, Holy Ghost? Then he reminded me that he says that he wants us to be full of the fruit of the Spirit, not the world. But the world will push you, rush you, till you drive faster. Come on, somebody. He'll tell you you're not making enough money, you're not tall enough, you're not pretty enough or handsome enough. It's a lie. I'm telling you right now, it's a lie. If you're fearfully and wonderfully made, do you lack anything?
No.
Okay. Then he said, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. And I said, oh, Lord, before I go to church, I got to repent of some things. Somebody got on my last nerve this week. I'm just telling you the truth. My husband also had to repent before we came. Then we want to be full of love, joy, peace, forbearance. Lord, have mercy. What's forbearance? Anybody know? Gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Forbearance. I personally call it perseverance. In the middle of the storm, where do we run? Do we run to our phone, an email, a text? Do we run to our best friend? Do we run to something other than the word? Do we run to somewhere other than your prayer closet? He stepped on my toes this week. Help me, Jesus, to believe. Where can I go from your Spirit? Nowhere. Nowhere. So every voice that talks to you, tell it to shut up, shut down. You show them the bottom of your foot and you kick it to the curb. You say, don't mess with me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
Forbearance to me is this. I took it personally. I said, Lord, I don't like that word that starts with a P. But I will say that love perseveres. It continues to love and trust, love and hope, love and persevere, and love and protect. But the battle is the... Let's do it again. The battle is the...
Lord.
Okay, everybody together. The battle is the...
Lord.
All right, we're in agreement. No other voice. Nobody tells me who I am. If I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, I'm tall enough. I got enough money, I got enough energy, I got enough friends, and I got a wonderful godly husband, praise the Lord, and other voices will put a question mark, but Jesus always puts an exclamation mark. He says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. If you are, agree with me, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. If you agree, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, we agree.
Is there anybody in the house that trusts in God today? You know, we've been tossing these words around today about stage 4 cancer and all of these things. Well, those are words from man. That is not in God's vocabulary. He says that by his stripes we are healed. So if we are operating in him, there is healing all the time. One thing we don't always remember is perfect love casts out all fear. The perfection of God, we use these words like cancer and all of these different illnesses, and people get fearful when they hear that, when they've been diagnosed with all that. But perfect love casts out all fear. We have nothing to worry about. We're not going anywhere unless God tells us to go somewhere. We will be here until he's done with us. So, do you still trust God for healing? Cast out all that fear. It doesn't belong to us. We are made perfect in his image. And we have to remember that. Thank you.
Can you hear me? You can hear me. I'm a walking miracle today, y'all. I had a sore come up on my leg. They did a biopsy. Biopsy blew up into a huge infection. My whole leg was swollen. They drained a bunch of stuff out of it. And so So Friday, they had to pack it because it leaves a hole when you have that much bacteria in you. And so they packed it. And so I went this morning back to the ER and got a wonderful physician. And he explained everything that had been going on. And when he took the packing out, and I was like, oh my gosh, look at all the pus. And he said, no, honey, that is not pus. That is healing tissue. And I'm like, thank you, God. And he just looked at me and I said, everybody's been praying for me. I almost kind of got down and I started doing a little bit too much of the pain pills. So I put them away and just stuck with a little bit of ibuprofen. Been resting a lot. So he told me today that cover it when I'm outside, but when I'm home, air it out, wash it occasionally, and that the healing process is doing very, very well. So thanks for the prayers. Yes. One more thing about my sister Terry. She got a second opinion about doing another round of chemo. And the cancer she has is very aggressive. So it's already moved to the next stage. So if she waits till she gets back to Texas, to MD Anderson, it might be worse for her. So she's gonna go ahead and do another round. So we're just putting all our faith in God and that she can do this. Even though her hair will grow back, that's what we just keep telling her, your hair will grow back. And so I just really appreciate prayers for my family and continued healing for me. Thank you.
What an exciting morning. Already we've had a lot of church and we even haven't even heard the person who's going to preach. So it's exciting. Thank you to our music ministry. They usher in the presence of the Lord, and I don't know about you, but I feel it in awe. It just feels so good to be in the house of the Lord. It's so good to be in a house where we have friends, and we share and care about one another. I'm going to be bringing you communion, but before they're going to start serving, so you'll start getting them. And just to let you know, if you haven't had communion with us before, there is a top and a bottom, so you'll find the bread and then you'll find the juice together. So just separate them and you can have them. So, Terry talked about love. That's the only thing that God has truly commanded us. All his commandments talk about love, but we're supposed to love and honor him, you know, with all our heart. But also, we're supposed to love each other. And sometimes it's hard to love unlovable people. But I want to talk about the fact that when you eat at a table with your enemies, it's hard for them to be your enemies when you're eating with them, when you're breaking bread. So think about that when you sit down, because sometimes we go to dinners and we sit with people we don't necessarily like or care for. But if we allow the love of God to overtake us and we share that, you have to remember his word says that he will make even our enemies be at peace with us. So know that you have that within you. So there's no sense in holding on to grudges. There's no sense in holding on to things that keep you from being able to enjoy the fruits of, that the Lord has given us. He's given us so many gifts, and we need to walk in those gifts. We need to be utilizing those gifts. We can't just sit back and say, I'll let somebody else do it. It's up to us. Each and every one of us have a ministry. Each and every one of us can share the gospel in our own way. We don't need to be any specific, title with it. All we need is to have a heart for the Lord. We need him. We need to listen to him and allow him to speak to us. And then we speak those words. And maybe we won't even speak any words. Maybe all we're going to do is love. Thank you. Oops. Maybe that's what we're going to do is love on a person. But that's okay, because if that's what God called you to do, then that's what you need to do. Because the next time he may give you the words to speak. So don't miss out on opportunities. Each of us, God has given us a commitment and said, this is what I want you to do. And it's to love one another, and it's to care for one another, and to make a difference. And sometimes, God, I don't know, I've actually done something where, you know, I'm not feeling it. But, you know, when out of obedience, then he gives me a different heart. So just when you break bread with somebody, think about what it is that you're being empowered by God to do. So, you know, let's love one another. And even when it's difficult, he will make it easier and easier every time. And he will allow you to become a better person, a stronger person. And so just know that there isn't anything we can't do with him. And, you know, we got to stop trying to solve problems, because he's got it. We just have to lay it at his feet. We have to allow him to take care of it. And that's our trust. And I love, you know, the song, you know, that we trust in him. AB reminded me a little bit ago, and we both had tears in our eyes. My mother, powerful woman of God, and she would say, you know, she was deeply rooted in God's word. And it's about that tree. She would say, in blue, but I stood firm. Because she stood firm in God's word. So we can all be that. And sometimes we don't think we can. You got to try it. And you got to understand that we have to have faith to believe that God has much for us. So don't limit God, because sometimes that's what we do. Okay, now we'll do communion. So communion is a time when we collectively reflect on the covenant that binds us together. It's also a time to individually reflect on the price Jesus paid for us to be in relationship with him, because that's a relationship. So every time we take communion, we activate the life and power of Jesus, allowing his life to flow through us. When you proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior, you activated the power of salvation. When you confessed through your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Remembering Jesus through communion brings breakthrough. Breakthrough power is not found in remembering our sins, in our past, or our pain. It is found in remembering Jesus. It's about remembering what he did on the cross. It's remembering his love, his healing, his grace, and his mercy. Whatever you've done and whatever has been done to you, God has outdone it, overcome it, and paid the price for it through the finished work of the cross. The supernatural presence of Jesus in his body and blood is enough to silence all the accusing voices that condemn, limit, and defeat us. Jesus is inviting you to come to the table and find healing and rest for your soul in him. So as when we do take communion, I'd ask if you would please stand with me. And I want you to expect and joy to flow over you like a river. You know, so God is so good, and I know that he can bring that to you. So 1 Corinthians 11, 24 through 25 says, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of that. Take the bread, if you would, please. And then this cup is the new covenant in his blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So if you take the cup. Remembering him activates God's power in your present moment or situation. He's in every situation. He's in all things. So know that you have hope, and you have the power within you to follow whatever it is, however he leads you. So remember that whatever he's called you to be, then walk in it, because he trusts you enough to give you a calling. And in that calling, in your own way, you will be a blessing to others. So thank you so much for sharing it in the communion here. But when you go home today, remember that you have healing because you've just taken this communion. You have peace, and there will be everlasting joy. And today will be amazingly blessed, and your week will be blessed. So thank you. Okay, now I get the honor of introducing your next speaker, and that is my son, Abe Enix. So come on down.
All right. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
So, you know, real quick, I just want to talk about, you know, it's important that we try to maintain unity. Like my mom was talking about, you know, when we break bread with one another, that, you know, it's kind of hard to fight one another. But, you know, it is an important thing, you know, especially here, especially in church when we're together with each other. Because you don't know who's going to walk through those doors. You don't know what it is that they're going to see when they do that. And we want to make sure that when they walk through those doors, they see love. Amen. They see kindness. They see gentleness. So just think about that. And not just when you're here, not just before service, not just after service, but wherever you are. Because our example can bring somebody closer to Christ.
Amen.
So... if you would, let's bow your heads with me and let's pray. God, I just ask that you open our eyes today to the words that you have in your scriptures, that you make them come alive to us, the real, just rooted in us, Lord, that it plants a seed that will be fruitful in what we do for you and your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right. So... I even said this last time. I'm not somebody who's like big on like titles, but I did give it a title today. I think it's "Where's the Finish Line?"
Yeah.
And you know, I see like there's a lot of times where we may be focused on certain goals, but is it truly the end goal? Because, you know, we are, you know, as the Bible put it, running a race. Okay, there is a destination. There is something we should be moving towards. And the thing is if we aren't focused on the right thing, we're not going to be moving any closer to that goal. Okay, so we have to have a right idea of what the finish line is. You know, we heard it a few times earlier, but we were created with a purpose. You know, we were created for a reason. And God, he actually, you know, took time in doing that. Before even the creation of the earth, he had us in mind. One of my favorite scriptures is Ephesians 2:10. And... it says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." Like we are his masterpiece. Like he didn't just create us just as some random thing, right? Like, you know, I just need something that looks like that. Kind of like, you know, like a mobile phone or something, right? We're just tons of them. Put out, right? Without any thought. We are actually carefully crafted, each one of us, made in his image. And on top of that, he gave us plans because he loves us. It's kind of like, think of a parent who wants to pass on his business, right? I mean, he sets them up for success, right? And that's what God did for us. He set us up for success. It's just our... it's just us needing to choose that.
Right.
So, you know, talking about the goal and what the finish line is, I wanted to talk about this where, like, you know, you might, if you're in a place where you feel like you're stuck, you're not really progressing, you're not going anywhere, doing anything, it could be that you have the wrong goal. Like if you're going through health problems, You should pray about them. Okay? You should. And you should believe what God's going to do for you. But that shouldn't be your only focus as to, I just got to get well. If you're going through a financial struggle, and if you're praying for God to help you financially, that shouldn't be your only goal. The whole reason why you might feel stuck is because what you're doing is you're just seeking out God's provision, but you're not actually seeking out His vision. So there's somewhere you're supposed to be. There's somewhere you're supposed to go, but you're just trying to make sure everything's perfect before you even try to get there. Do you hear what I'm saying? So there is a scripture we hear all the time, right? There's a scripture we probably know pretty well, and it's in Matthew. It's chapter 6, and this is verses 31 through 33. And it says, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. So there's this thing too, like where we're not supposed to conform to the patterns of this world. But it's easy to get caught up in that stuff when you see everybody else around you focusing on those things. So for us, we can't be worried about the things we'll eat, the things we'll drink, what we'll wear. Okay, we're supposed to be thinking about what God wants us to do. All that other stuff's taken care of. It says, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Okay, He knows you need to be healed. He knows that you're struggling. He knows that you may not be in a place emotionally where you're joyful. He sees all that. He knows it. And He'll give it to you. But the thing is that we need to do what comes next. And it says this. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Amen. And live righteously. And He will give you everything you need. Amen. So we do work with God's provision, His blessing, His empowerment. But, you know, we need to do it where in a way where we're not focused on making sure we got everything we need before we do it. God's going to equip us. He's going to give us everything and it's the right time. It may even seem like it's this thing where, you know, it's like it's already past when you needed it. And then God shows up and gives it to you because He really knows when you need it. Okay. You may feel like you have this idea, but like, is God's timing perfect?
Yes.
Yes. You know, it's something where we're supposed to be so reliant on God, we're not worried about those things. Amen. It doesn't mean we don't work for Him, right? We don't need it. It's not like, okay, God, I don't need a job now. You're going to take care of all that. You're like, yes, you still need to work, but I think here is a good reflection of this to make us think about that. It's 2 Timothy 2:4. This is in the Amplified. I chose some scriptures in different translations, so hopefully ones that we've seen before, we might think about them a little bit differently. But it says here, no soldier in active service gets entangled in the ordinary business affairs of civilian life. He avoids them so that he may please the one who enlisted him to serve. Now, all of us should be serving God. And think about like a soldier that's been sent out somewhere, deployed, right? Okay. Do they have to worry about what they're going to wear? No, they got a uniform, right?
Right.
Do they have to worry about what they eat? Do they have to worry about where they live?
No.
Okay. So, you know, we should think of it in the same way. We shouldn't concern ourselves with these things. Doesn't mean you can't take time like, I like those shoes, right? It doesn't mean that, but it, like, it shouldn't be the focus of my life where that's the thing that brings me happiness or joy, right? And that's the only thing. But it has to be this thing where, like, if I don't have something, it's okay. God's going to give me everything I need. So, I mean, if you do feel stuck, if you do feel like, you know, life is just, you're just trying to survive, right? Then you're probably not in the will of God. It doesn't mean that, like, because, like, it's the craziest thing. You could be going through some of the toughest, worst things in your life and still have joy.
Yes.
If you're relying on God.
Yes.
I'll say, it's about 10 years. I know, because I got a little pin at work for 10 years. And it made me think also 10 years of this church. But it's also been 10 years since I lost my father. And even though we're going through a tough time there, I got to see a good example of what strong people do. People are strong in the faith when faced with adversity like that. My dad, he was always joyful, always joking with people. My mom, we would go around praying for people while we're at the hospital. We, you know, we went out to lunch a few times. My mom took people out to lunch a few times that were from out of state receiving treatment there. And it's this thing is like, even though you find yourself in this terrible circumstance, it's still a place where you can serve God.
Yes.
It's still a place where you can build up and encourage others.
Yes.
Because we shouldn't be concerned with the outcome. Because no matter what, the outcome is the one that God has planned for us.
Yes.
And that no matter what, we will have victory.
Amen.
I might not have my dad now, but there will be a time I see him again.
Yeah.
But, like I said, if you're in a place and you feel like you're just struggling, if you're in a place where you have no joy in your life, I want you to seriously look at this, Romans 8:6. And I want you to write it down. I want you to understand it. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. Because there are certain scriptures in the Bible where you can just look at them and you can say, is this my life? Do I have this? And if you don't, figure out why. The answer is right there. You have to be led by the spirit.
Amen.
Life and peace. So when we're talking about Matthew 6, most of you will like recognize what it says. Like, I think it's in the King James translation, but seek first the kingdom of God, right?
Yep. That's right.
So what does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? And I think if we look at Luke chapter 9, this is verses 23 and 25, it'll show us exactly what it is. And then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. It's, If you think about the cross, you think about sacrifice. Now, Jesus didn't just give up his life. He gave up more than that. Imagine what he went through before the cross. He wasn't just tortured before the cross. He was also belittled. He was mocked. He saw, like, right in front of him when he was being stripped of his clothes that they were, like, casting lots so that they could see who would win his robe. Imagine being treated inhumanely like that. They said he was beaten to a point where he didn't even look like a man anymore. And it's something I have to ask myself. Am I going to do everything God requires of me? Imagine what he went through so that we could all have a freedom that we wouldn't have otherwise. That we could have salvation we wouldn't have otherwise. It's a great sacrifice, and it's one that we need to honor. So it's a matter of putting God first in your life. Yes. It's about taking those things. Sacrifice isn't about not sinning. Sacrifice is about giving something of yourself you'd rather keep. Your time, your talent, your treasure, whatever it is. That sacrifice. And if God's asking for it, give it to him. Don't just give him things randomly, though. Ask God, what do you want from me? And give him that. And it says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Yeah, I just talked about like 10 years at this church. There's been a lot of things that, I mean, to me, it doesn't feel like a sacrifice anymore because it's something where I want to be here. I want to do things for God. Like preaching before, like I wasn't big on standing up in front of people. And now I don't look at it as that. I look at it as like God asked me to be somewhere. I'm going to be there and I'm going to do what God asked me. And it's just as exciting to be up here as it is to study and prepare for it. Because there are things that God's revealed to me that, like, I didn't see before in my preparation. And it's things that will carry on from, like, now and forever. Because God's put that in my heart. And the Holy Spirit, he will remind me of all those things. You know, when I was talking about when you're instead of seeking God's vision, you know, you're just seeking out his provision. It's just like this thing is like if you're actually seeking out his vision, you're going to build up to something. You're actually going somewhere. There is a goal. Okay. If I'm just looking at all my problems, it's just like imagine if I'm building up steps, right? And it's like, okay, well, I need to pay this bill, put a step down, and it's like, instead of me building up higher, I'm just like, okay, now I need some more money. I need to fix this. I need to fix that. And then all of a sudden, I just got all these steps that are at the same level. And it's this thing where I'm not going anywhere. I'm not achieving anything. I should be working towards something, building towards something. The Bible talks so many times about what maturity looks like. And we need to strive for those things. And if you don't know what it looks like to become mature in the knowledge of God, find those scriptures. That's your homework. Because it's not just supposed to be about like we're here Sunday and then we go home and it's like, oh, those are nice words. In Ezekiel, it talks about people saying, you know, they come to hear. It's like, oh, it's music. It's like poetry. It's like, but their hearts are far from me. Right? And it's like, oh, that sounds great. Sounds nice. But then do nothing about it. So now righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added on to you. So how do we get righteousness? So the first one, we'll talk about the first part of it. which is like two parts. But in Philippians chapter 3, Paul was talking about how he was a Pharisee, how he was the Hebrew of Hebrews, right? And when you're looking at the Bible for the Jewish people, you know, a Pharisee was actually a good thing, right? We just see them as like villains or whatever, right? But like they were supposed to be the ones that followed the law most closely, right? They were the ones that everybody should look up to. They were, you know, these teachers. They had great wisdom. And Paul's saying, you know, I was the Hebrew of Hebrews. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. You know, I followed the law without fault. But then shortly after that, he says this. And this is verses 7 through 9. It says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Amen. So part of the righteousness we have is our faith in God. Our faith that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he died on the cross. Because that is what makes us right with God. That's what is the thing that gives us access to God. That's the way that God looks at us, with complete love and not wrath for our sinful natures. It changes when we accept Jesus. But there is another part of righteousness. You know, it can't be this thing where it's like, okay, well, I believe in God, believe in Jesus and all he did, so I'm righteous now. I don't need to do anything else. Just live wild as you want to, right? In James, in this chapter 2, this is verses 20 and 26, says this. It's always great to start this way too. You foolish person. So, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. So a person is considered righteous by what they do and not faith alone. So don't just hear what is good, but do it. I don't know, there might be something in James chapter 1 about that. There is, if you want to look. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous? For what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction, as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Bless you. So, you know, there's also the things that we do that make us righteous, right? Because righteousness is doing right. Okay. And the thing is like, it's not as difficult as it may seem if we just allow God to work in our life. If we allow this Holy Spirit, if we allow him to do what he wants, right? And say, hey, Abe, this is the right thing to do. Abe, remember this scripture. Abe, do what you're commanded to do. And then actually do it, right? Because there could be this thing, if we tell the Holy Spirit no enough, we can build up a callus that says, that just makes it so that we don't care anymore. We don't feel anymore. That we're not concerned with the things of God. We may look like in the outwardly appearance that, you know, we're doing all the Christian stuff, right? But truly, inside, we could be dead. Now, earlier I did talk about, you know, despite your circumstance, you could still do great things for God, right? Despite not feeling like you have all these different things that you would want, think you need, there are still things you can do for God. Look at Job and all he went through, right? Now we have a whole book in the Bible talking about suffering and how we can live. Paul. He was in prison for a short time. The book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, written while he's in prison. And think about all the knowledge and the wisdom that we get from those books. The understanding of God and his love for us from those books. All written while Paul was in prison. You know, I was talking about how you know, we were, when my dad was in the hospital, treatment for, you know, seemed like weeks and weeks and weeks. We didn't just sulk. We didn't just sit there. But it was something where we were still able to find joy in that situation. I just don't want anybody to just focus on all the problems they have in their life. Because if you do that, you're just going to see problems. If you think the enemy is coming for you, that's all you're going to see. A lot of the problems we have in this world are actually because of us and the things that we do. Because we aren't listening to God. We aren't following his guidance. It's this thing where we need just to submit. And it can be difficult because there's some things that we probably really love that we don't want to give up. But you'll find out when you give up those things and you take a hold of the thing that God's giving for you, you'll love that even greater than the thing you thought you loved. So, you know, I want to make sure that you don't just focus on problems. It's something that's so easy to fall into. Because if you don't have the right end in mind, you're just going to be chasing after solutions to problems. But there's actually something you're supposed to build. There's actually something you're supposed to create. In the book of Hebrews, this is chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says this. And this is what our ultimate goal should be. This is where we find the finish line. This is what we're striving for. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. So sin is a big part of us not doing what we're supposed to be doing for God, okay? May have inappropriate relationships. We may be seeking out things that like become an idol. We may be like trying to medicate ourselves with things that we shouldn't really be. And I'm not talking about if you're sick, you know, taking a Tylenol or something. Okay. There are so many distractions in this day and age. So many things that could take you away from what you're really supposed to be doing. There are so many promises and gifts we've been given, and we can't waste them. If we think the world is in a bad state, if we think our nation's in a bad state, our city, our state is in a bad state. I would say part of that starts with us. Who has power? Who has authority?
God.
God. And who is he giving that to?
Us.
We're not supposed to be fearful or worry about the way we see things. We should just be who God's called us to be. The loving, kind people that God's called us to be. The people that can make change on this earth with just our mere presence and being true ambassadors for Christ. But none of that's going to change until we can actually learn to sacrifice. To give up the time and the talent and the treasure that we've been given. And we've all been given it by God himself. Everything we have, even if you did work for it, he gave you breath so you could do that work. He gave you skills so you could do that work. He gave you all the abilities you have so you could do those things. He gave you the opportunity. Do not forget where everything you have comes from. And then it says this, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Endurance. Now, if we had to do that on our own, I don't think we'd make it. Pretty sure we wouldn't. But if we do it with God, we'll make it. So endure. It says, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Remember, our focus should be for Jesus. It's okay. What do you want me to do, Jesus? Where do you want me to go? What is happening? Like, if you are going through something, say, God, what is it I can do to be stronger from this? Don't say, oh, can you just take this away from me? Maybe it's a moment for you to be strengthened. Maybe it's a moment for you to learn something. You can learn something in everything you go through, in every circumstance. You are not your circumstance. You're not somebody who's just going to keep going through stuff. If you truly build up, if you truly follow the Spirit, you will find something beyond just being stuck. It says we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. We need to remember the same thing. We're being led to something that is greater than anything we've seen on this earth. In the end, there's going to be a paradise because we get to be with God. Like, we get to be in the same space, right? We get to see him finally. There won't be war. There won't be tears. There won't be sadness. We need to remember, like, as we are living our life, that's where we're working. We're going to go towards, right? So anything you give up now, it's only temporary. There's an eternity of just happiness, joy, life. And we're not going to have any of that if we're not going to have this time here on earth where we have any kind of joy if we're not seeking out God and everything he wants us to do. right? We may be entertained for a moment and forget about things. We may numb ourselves, but it's not going to do anything that has any kind of lasting effect. But just remember what it is we're going towards. Don't look at where you are now or what's going on now. And it says, now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. And listen to this, Romans 8, verse 17. It says, now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Can you imagine that? We get to share in his glory. We are co-heirs. There is an inheritance for us. It's amazing. But I just want you to think about this. God knows everything, right? God created us with a purpose, right?
Yes.
So God put us on the earth in this place, in this moment, for a reason. Right? And just think, like, you know, God, before the universe began, before time started, yeah, right? He's thinking, he's like, Aaron,
yep.
I'm gonna create you. I'm gonna put you in the Sarita House of Worship today.
Woo!
There's a reason for that, right?
Yeah, that's it.
I would say this guy here, he's an encourager. Yeah, man, he'll fire you up. Yeah. Each and every one of us are here in this moment, in this world, for a reason. God doesn't need us to do anything, but he wants us to do it. Right? Can you imagine that? God actually set it up because he wants to spend time with you. He wants to see you succeed. He wants to see you find fulfillment in your life. He wants to know that he wants you to know that he loves you. He wants you to know that you are his. Yeah. That you are his family now. Yeah. Can you imagine that? Created with that kind of purpose, with that kind of love and care, that's who you are, each and every one of us. And imagine how long he's been doing that for, since the beginning of the world. That he would still take that time to think about every one of us and plan for every one of us. So I want you to make sure you take that time to find out what it is he planned for you. Nobody can tell you that. Nobody can make you do that. Nobody can make you do what he's called you to. And God, he's not going to force you to. I mean, maybe he might stick you in a whale or something and send you somewhere. But, you know, he wants to spend time with you. He loves you. And he doesn't want to make your life a bore. He doesn't want to, like, make it something where you're just going to hate it, right? He loves you, and he's going to give you a love for life, but you have to follow after whatever it is God has for you. And if you're breathing right now, there is a purpose for you. There is something you should be doing, okay? It doesn't mean that you have to specifically do it here in this church, but you probably have to do something, right? Okay, if it's just as simple as just telling people you love them, to encourage one another, just remember that. Just like seek that. All right, let's pray. Lord, I just ask that the word you had for us today, It's something that takes root in us. And as I asked before, that is something that's fruitful, Lord. But it's something that helps us to be in a state where we are willing to help, Lord. That we want to know more about you and your word and your love for us, your kingdom. God, and just give us a love for people. Give us a love for people so that we help one another. So that we honor people above ourselves. And God, I just ask that you help those that are hurting. Heal those that need it. And God, give provision to everyone so that they may not worry. And know and grow. Just help grow their faith, Lord. Help grow their faith in a way that they can just rely on you and your provision. And be concerned more with your vision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.